There is a better way to practice architecture. When you build a thriving business, you will then have the time and the financial resources to do your best work, to design the architecture that you want to design. We've built a powerful program of resources, training, and community for you, the small firm architect. We'll show you how to build a better business so you can be a better architect. Entree Architect Academy. To learn more, visit the homepage at entrearchitect.com. You're listening to Entree Architect Podcast, and this is episode 178. Welcome back to the Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage, and this is the podcast dedicated to a successful life as a small firm architect. Whether you have plans to someday start your own firm, whether you're in the process of launching a startup, or you might be an experienced small firm architect just trying to make a difference, this podcast is for you. My goal is to inspire you to build a better business so that you may pursue your purpose with passion and live the life of your dreams. I am loving this series, The Entrepreneur Architect, where I interview you. You are the members of Entree Architect community from every corner of the universe. Small firm entrepreneur architects coming to share your story here at Entree Architect Podcast. It is a great opportunity for you. It's a great opportunity for all of the community to hear the many, many stories that so many entrepreneur architects have. We all have a story, and we're all here to share our knowledge. So this week, I have another entrepreneur architect. This week, Nathan Bueller, entrepreneur architect. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is supported by our platform sponsors, FreshBooks, BQE Software, and Arcat. And I'm going to share a little bit more about these great companies later in the show, but before we get started here, take a quick note to schedule some time later this week to visit each one of them. Go check them out and let them know that you appreciate them supporting us, the Entree Architect community. Nathan Bueller, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Hey, all. Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
It's great having you here. We've connected a bunch of times on social media, so it's great to have you here in the podcast chair to hear your story.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Nathan's an architect and the owner of BLD. It's BLDG, right? Not building.
BLDG Workshop, yep. Like the short form of building, yeah.
Great. So it's BLDG Workshop in Toronto, Canada. And growing up in a tiny logging community in northern British Columbia and living overseas in South America, there were touch points that laid the foundation for a later in life entry into architecture for Nathan. Earlier experiences in work all had been primarily people and or ministry driven, but creative endeavors continued to draw interest toward architecture. At that point, the design became the main focus of work life. Themes relating to connection, authenticity, and people continued to be entirely integral to the work. So Nathan, that's a little brief summary, a little tidbit of who you are and where you came from. I'd love for you to dive into your origin story, go back to where you discovered architecture, what inspired you to take this path, and share that story from that point to where you find yourself today.
Yeah. So I grew up in this like tiny town, like where people in like real logging communities, like 2 hours away, like have never heard of it. It's called Houston. People are like all the way from Texas. and in fact, it's northern BC. It's the smallest town around, and it was just a different kind of experience than the one I find myself now living in, like, in Toronto. But it kind of still feels like every time somebody's like, talking about like, you know, lumberjack aesthetic or whatever, I'm like, no, that's what I grew up with. It's actually really cool. Like, we go hunting, we go fishing, you know, it was small town growing up. And then, as I've kind of continued on in life, it's always kind of felt, even though I've not been there for years, it just feels foundational to who I was as a person. But yeah, so I went from there. I went and did like theology, like Bible school training, in Vancouver for a number of years. and did a bunch of like church ministry and just like working with people and psychology and not psychology, but like counseling and a bunch of stuff like that for a bunch of years, kind of leading me down to
Argentina. Great preparation for architecture.
yeah, exactly. My wife now she's got her master's of counseling psychology. And I'm like, no, man, I do way more marriage counseling than you ever do.
No doubt.
And I tell clients that all the time too. But yeah, so I spent a bunch of years living in South America, and again, it was all like really super people driven, and sometimes I kind of feel like, oh, like I'm around people all the time, and I kind of feel like lonely and burnt out. In the midst of all these people that I love. And it just kind of felt like this isn't like all of what I'm supposed to be doing. So I kind of, I don't know if I specifically set out to leave that behind, but I kind of kept looking for what was exactly right in my life. And then, so for, you know, a number of years was kind of searching around for that. And then, I was like, well, what about like creative stuff? I kind of felt it always kind of like trying to get out of me. And then at one point heard that there was this guy that like built this house like on top of a waterfall. I'm like, what? and that was kind of it for me. It was into school and moving forward with architecture ever since that point.
How old were you when that happened, when that flip happened?
I was pushing 30. So it was, yeah, I got to school. I think I started when I was 29, but yeah, I had my birthday right after that. So I'm like, I'm 30 years old and all these kids are straight out of high school and they already know how to draw and they already know how to use AutoCAD. And I kind of felt like a bit of a fish out of water. But yeah, like you say, like past experiences in life helped me to move forward. Okay.
Yeah. So you went to architecture school and went through that whole process and sat with a bunch of 20-year-olds.
Yeah, exactly. And I should probably clarify a little bit. I did like a college route. So here in Ontario, mm-hmm. they've got like kind of typical architecture in university route and then a college route that leads you towards, it's a BCIN number, it's called, which is a building code identification number. So I'm not a registered architect.
Okay.
I'm kind of like the same thing, but I'm not allowed to build churches and movie theaters and stuff like that.
Right. So you took a different route. And have a different certification.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. So that sounds like a pretty interesting process, certainly unique for most architects, you know.
Yeah.
And was there one specific goal that you had that would be, you know, separate from becoming an architect that you sort of tried to focus on and achieved? Can you tell us a little story about a goal that you might have accomplished?
One kind of cool thing we've done, you know, kind of as part of our professional work, but I was really excited about it as it was happening. We did a project a number of years ago called the Bunky, and it was kind of as small space architecture was kind of, you know, people were talking about it more and more, and I had this design for this kind of cool little like silhouette of a house that would kind of sit on a landscape and almost be. Like it would almost be erased in the landscape kind of thing with just this outline. But it was a really cool project. I wanted to do something that kind of felt like that it was just kind of connected in with the design community that wasn't necessarily a house, but it felt more kind of maybe more like furniture design. And I connected up with a guy who does furniture design. And he was like, you know, we could build this thing like you're talking about the same way that I build chairs or sofas, you know, doing like a CNC, you know, plywood frame. And so we kind of almost changed the typology of, you know, how this thing was going to be built. And it was kind of, it was just a really fun project because you know, throughout my whole life, every time I came up with an idea, you know, along the lines of entrepreneurship, I'd be like, hey, we could like do this thing. And people would be like, you're an idiot. That's so dumb. but you know, that kind of, well, we've got this show called Dragon's Den. It would be like Shark Tank down in the States. In fact, I think it was a precursor to Shark Tank. And I always had these ideas. This could be, you know, this could make $1 billion. And everybody always was like, that's stupid. And when I did the Bunky, it was like the flip. Everybody was like, this is amazing. And I didn't think it was any better than any of my other ideas. But once I kind of teamed up with somebody who really knew what they were doing, it felt like the story of what we were doing was very fluent through the whole thing, from, you know, from the big picture down through the whole construction and through the detailing and everything all the way through felt like a very cohesive design we were doing. So that might be one of my one of the things we've done that I was fairly proud of.
A pure entrepreneur, all those ideas and people telling you you're crazy. That's every entrepreneur who has ever succeeded. You know that's imagine Uber and them telling you that what Uber is going to be in 10 years when they first came up with that idea. We're all told we're nuts. You have a very unique design style. I've reviewed your website and looked at your projects. I don't think I ever saw anything like it. It's a very unique, interesting style. It's modern, certainly modern, but not the typical modern that you see in all the magazines. And it's very good and it's very interesting. So is that project that you're just describing, is that in that same aesthetic?
It would be a little bit different, and it wouldn't. I think anybody that would see it would be like, "Oh, that's a cool thing." But 5 or 6 years ago, when we were kind of coming up with it, it maybe felt a little bit more design forward than it might now. It probably had a bit of Zaha Hadid kind of in it a little bit, and Todd Saunders maybe feeling vibe of it into it a bit. But yeah, kind of. I appreciate you saying that about our work. We here in the city, there's a lot of what people would say modern, but it always kind of feels like it's just like, well, they took the same kind of neoclassical thing they were going to do and they made it a flat roof and covered it in stucco, then called it modern. We're like, yeah, I mean, I think design can be better than that,
Yeah.
So we're trying to do good work in every project. Yep. As much as we're allowed.
What's your website URL so people can go check it out?
So we're bldgworkshop.ca. Okay. Not to be confused with, there's a buildingworkshop.com in the States. And that guy didn't want to give me his URL. Nice guy, though.
Yeah, so go check that out, bldgworkshop.ca. So go check that out. It's very, very interesting work. So what about a struggle? What about the other end of the pendulum? Have you gone through some? I mean, we all go through struggle. So share a story about a struggle you've gone through.
Yeah, well, it's probably actually somewhat related to our Bunky project, but certainly in a similar time frame. We were doing really well with the company, like maybe 3 years ago or something. We're still a young firm. We're only about 6 years old, but things had been rolling really nicely for us, and then we did get. We did spend a lot of time trying to push the Bunky forward, and we still do. But all of a sudden, it felt like projects just weren't coming in, and we hadn't had a problem with that before. And all of a sudden, it was like the tap turned off, and they just weren't. So I got to a spot where just financially, there wasn't enough work coming in, there wasn't enough payment coming in, that things were just looking really, really bleak. I needed to, at that point, one of my partners in the Bunky, who was an employee in Building Workshop, he just kind of slowly made his way off to do some other stuff. And then I had another full-time staff who, I ended up having to, lay her off. There was just no work coming in, and it wasn't market driven it wasn't something to do with the way, the economy was. It was just, I guess I hadn't done well enough at continuing to push my name out there, and I'd somehow kind of been left behind as far as where people were looking when they were looking for somebody to do their home. That was definitely a struggle, and we've it feels like at this point we've worked through that, or worked through most of that. And I mentioned to you, in a couple spots that Entree Architect was a massive piece of turning that around. So again, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. I appreciate you saying that, and I'm glad we're there. Because that's why we're there. There are a few sources that are doing what we're doing, and there are a lot more now. But when I started, there were almost none. I started in 2007, relaunched it in 2012, and so I'm glad that we're making a difference, and I'm glad that we can help you.
Yeah, absolutely. I was gonna say something there about just, you know, how you'd helped. You know, there it was just one article specifically that I kind of keep coming back to, and it was basically talking about cash flow and, you know, here's what it's gonna cost to run your firm, which isn't anything like how much it would seem in your head like it should cost. Like you feel like if I could make, you know, a bit of profit on top of, you know, the money that's going out, we should be cool. And when I actually kind of worked through the numbers, it was like, shoot, I need to bring in a lot more work if I'm not going to have to shutter this thing.
It's hard. It's being an architect is not easy, and being in business is not easy. And so, if we just focus on the things that are fun, we tend to slip, and then we find
Right, and they
ourselves.
don't.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they don't teach you those things in school, right? I mean,
Right.
I'm sure we had a business course that said, here's how you put a business plan together. But like, you know, we all get taught to be Frank Lloyd Wright, and in the end it's like, oh, you've actually got to like be kind to people and know how to bill and stuff like
Right.
that.
Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our platform sponsors here at Entree Architect, FreshBooks, BQE Software, and ARCAT. 192 hours. That works out to about 2 business days every month. And when you're a small firm architect using FreshBooks cloud accounting software, that's the amount of administration time that you can save this year. That's time that you can spend doing the things you love, like being an architect. FreshBooks makes it simple to send invoices, post your expenses automatically, track time for your whole team, by project, and get organized with reports, communication, and notifications. Sign up for a free 30-day unrestricted trial and get ready for the simplest way to be more productive, organized, and most importantly, my favorite, get paid faster. Visit entrearchitect.com/freshbooks to access FreshBooks for free, and be sure to enter Entree Architect in that how did you hear about us section. One of the most often requested resources here at Entree Architect Community is project management software. I hear it all the time. How do we keep our projects and our people organized while we grow as entrepreneur architects? This podcast is sponsored by AIA Advantage Partners BQE Software. They are the makers of ArchiOffice. ArchiOffice is the only time tracking, billing, and project management software made by architects for architects. It empowers you to easily and quickly understand everything about your projects, your staff, and finances all in one place, wherever you are. And listeners here at Entree Architect Podcast can get a free 15-day trial of ArchiOffice at entrearchitect.com/BQE. That's entrearchitect.com/BQE. If you've been listening to this podcast anytime during the last few months, you've heard me talking about ARCAT. And hopefully you're already using their free resources on a regular basis. But for those of you who have maybe not checked them out yet, ARCAT's a great tool for small firm architects like you. ARCAT has huge libraries of free content, CAD, BIM, specifications, and more. And they've done all the work for you. You need a spec? Click on over and download the CSI 3-part specification in multiple formats, all for free. How about a CAD detail or BIM objects? All free at the click of a mouse. ARCAT has tons of building product content ready for you to use, and it's all completely free. And you don't have to register to download any of it. And they've recently launched something new that I want you to go check out. It's called Charette. Create a project, assign tasks, share and collaborate with colleagues and clients in real time. Pull content from the ARCAT database, all that free stuff I'm talking about, you can pull it there and throw it into Charette. Anywhere on the web, found something out on the web, pull it in, put it into Charette. It all keeps it organized in one place, and you can collaborate with your clients and your colleagues. And this is free too. So visit them at entrearchitect.com/RCAT. That's A-R-C-A-T. entrearchitect.com/RCAT. And click on the charrette icon right there on the homepage to learn more. FreshBooks, BQE Software, and RCAT. Please visit our platform sponsors today and thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. How about a aha moment? Was there a moment in time that sort of something clicked and the clouds parted and things got a little bit more clear for you?
Yeah, there was just a little over a year ago, there was an aha moment where I'm sure most people listening are familiar with Houzz. So we had an aha day where all of a sudden I looked at our placing on where different architects and building designers are kind of listed. And so the aha moment I'm referring to is when one day I opened up and we were number one, and it was like, what, we're number one? It's amazing. But so that was, and I expected that was just a glitch and that it would kind of turn around, which hasn't happened, thankfully. That was the day of fruition, I guess, but we'd kind of started on that probably a year before that. And I was literally every day pushing at our metrics and pushing at our, just all the different things that they use to rate you. And it's a silly rating, right? Like I'm number one on this list of designers, you know, among like Shim Sutcliffe and Ian McDonald and guys that I like worship. and this silly advanced metrics has me placed in front of them when, you know, typical Joe homeowner says, hey, who should I use for an architect? So we pushed at that on a daily basis and a lot of time went into that. And then, at a certain point it came to fruition. So that was really, really, really awesome for us.
Yeah. And, you know, and you say it's silly, but it's not silly. You know, the reason you rank higher than them is that you put in the work. You put in the effort. You focused on it. You knew that there was a way to get to the top. And they didn't do that. And you saw success in that. So that's a great lesson for people out there listening, that there are people with bigger names doing things that, you know, that are getting published and people talk about. But there are ways to compete with firms at every angle.
Yeah, that would be one thing we learned through that.
So what makes your firm unique? I talked about the design and the aesthetic of what you do. Is there something specific that makes you unique, or your firm a little different than everybody else?
It's probably kind of cliche, but I just always feel like, you know, like, people talk about you got to work hard and you got to work smarter. We just smile a lot, like when we're in client meetings and stuff. I like feeling, and I think it just comes through. I think people kind of feel like this guy is pretty chilled out and pretty relaxed, and I think we're gonna enjoy the process. And that probably does turn some clients or potential clients away. They quite likely feel like they need somebody who feels a little bit more pedantic, or I'm not exactly sure what, but the other thing, you know, and this isn't by design, but it feels like everybody that ends up working with us are, makers, or we do like some kind of, you know, on our own design, build, construction, whether it's furniture, whether it's everybody that works with us always feels like they like doing stuff with their hands besides just clicking away on AutoCAD.
Yeah. You say that you're a nice guy, that's a unique piece about you. And I agree with you that there is an ROI on that. There is a return on investment on being nice. I have that same thing. I also feel the same thing that I've had clients tell me that I'm not aggressive enough, that I need to be more aggressive and I need to not be so nice. I've had clients specifically tell me that, you know, looking out for my own good fortune, but it's who I am and it's who I'm going to be. And I will guarantee you that I've gotten more work and more referrals because I am a nice person and I go out of my way to be polite and respectful than if I was the other way around.
It sounds obvious, right? But then the follow through on it is your life's work, right?
Yeah, exactly right. So so let's get into some quick questions here. These should roll through pretty quickly. So At what age did you decide to become an architect?
Yeah, it was probably 28, 29 years old. It was a little bit later than most people that do it, I think.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably the latest that I've had so far with this. I've had 10 or 12 people on now, and that's the latest. What's your target market? Is it just residential, or do you do something specific?
We do a little bit of commercial stuff. We just did a really fun kind of interior office space for a friend. I'll do a plug. His name's Earthscape, or their company, and they're doing like dangerous playgrounds, kind of all over the states. Even though they're based here in Canada, they're pretty cool. So we've just done their office, but yeah, almost exclusively we're doing houses for people, whether it's renovations, additions, and then some new builds, obviously.
What is a dangerous playground?
Basically, this guy, he's kind of the same as me. He started out in life as an engineer and then basically said, I want to enjoy my life more than I'm enjoying it. So he started a landscape company, and he just hires kids straight out of landscape university, and they all come with this philosophy of we've been teaching children how to be safe and just trying to keep them safe all this time. Let's build playgrounds where they're just as likely to break their arm as they are to to live in a bubble, and then the idea is that kids are gonna grow up better. I don't know. It's all based on philosophy, but certainly the stuff, like the work that's coming out of the philosophy, is pretty spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely create character through challenge, so it's an interesting concept. I'm gonna look that up. I've never heard anybody talk about that before.
I don't think they're actually going out of their way to break kids' arms, but
yeah, no, of course not. But I understand the philosophy, and I tend to agree with it. So, not that I want kids to break their arms, but I think there's right. something to say about letting your child be challenged here and there. How about your fee? Stipulated sum, hourly or percentage based fee?
Yeah, you know what we do. I don't think this will be typical, but we just charge an hourly rate. So we just go in and tell clients we're just going to charge hourly across the board. Every hour we work, we're going to charge you for that hour, and then we get kind of a glazed over look, and we say, okay, well, we'll probably, like, to the point we have a permit in hand, we'll probably be whatever percentage of what your construction is going to be, but we'll usually find that we've done it long enough, we've done enough projects of whatever scale that usually our hourly rate will work out to, a certain amount of the budget.
Other than architecture, what makes you happy? Any hobbies or passions?
I'm kind of at the stage of life where it's just like any moment I'm not at work, I'm doing kid stuff. We've got three little boys. So that makes me massively happy. But when I'm not with them, then it's mostly just like complaining about kids or like sharing notes about, getting thrown up on or whatever. So yeah, complaining about kids, I would say, is my hobby.
That's become a common theme as well with entrepreneur architects, that we're either working or we're hanging out with our family, and there's very little in between.
Right.
What's the best advice you ever received?
Okay, so this will, like, I mean, I imagine most people that are listening will have gone through this all as well. But when things were really bad for my company, I read the book, The E-Myth. And he does the whole like work on your business rather than in your business, right? Which again sounds obvious, but he kept going back to like a McDonald's, an example of how great McDonald's was. And any of us who have ever done anything from a design standpoint, you're like, that's exactly opposite to anything I would ever want. But he kind of kept coming back to, like, think of all like the love and the care and the elegance you try to put into your design work. And he's saying, do that, push the same level of care and elegance at working on your business. And even though the example was so exactly opposite, something about that felt correct to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, he's using McDonald's as an example of a system that works. And we may not right. necessarily agree with the result of that system, but we can't deny that the system works at McDonald's. And so that's really the message that he's trying to get by with using McDonald's as an example. It's and certainly one of my favorite books, so I'm glad you mentioned that.
So again, just the idea that this intense desire to do really, really good design work, you're applying that now to a business as opposed to a house or a structure of some kind.
Yeah, design your business.
Something like that.
How about a personal habit or a daily routine?
I touched on it already, but just smiling a lot, working hard and smiling.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Recommended app or an internet resource?
I'm a pretty big fan of Houzz. As it's grown, I've been involved with it for quite a few years. I used to kind of dislike it. It felt in its maybe in its first couple of years of going, it kind of felt like it was more of a weird kind of tire kickers type of market. But as it's grown, it feels like it's kind of the go-to place for people that want to do the type of work that we're interested in doing.
Do you see a lot of results through Houzz? Are you getting a lot of calls? Can you specifically say this project came from Houzz?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say I haven't done this within the past couple of weeks, but maybe a month and a half ago, I looked through our projects and say if we had 20 on the board, probably 60% were direct Houzz pickups.
Wow, very good, very good. So you should go check out Nathan's Houzz account as well, and go see how it's set up and the way it's working.
I spent some time on that. If I can throw
out, go ahead.
And you can edit it out if it's not cool. But
no, it's definitely cool. That's what this is all about.
I spent enough time at it and kind of worked through things enough with them. I thought, if people wanted to use me as a resource, I'd probably need to figure out a way to monetize it. But I mean, if people wanted to connect with me and say, hey, how can I, spend some time doing what you did, I could talk to people about that.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Is there a way that people can connect with you to do that? If somebody wants to sort of hire you as a coach to put together a Houzz profile, how do they connect with you?
Yeah, well, my phone number is on my Houzz account, or my website is connected there. The email that's at the website gets to me.
Okay, great, great. We'll have all those links in the show notes. This is episode 178. So people can go to entrearchitect.com/episode178, and we'll have links to the Houzz account and your website. How about a book? We talked a little bit about eMyth. Is that your recommended book, or do you have a different recommended book?
I mean, that was the one I jotted down saying, hey, this has kind of changed things for me. Less than a book, just that article I mentioned from Entree Architect really changed things for me. I mentioned before, I do, I've been involved in like lots of like church ministry stuff. So I know this guy who wrote a book called Anointed for Business. That's probably not most people's cup of tea, but it's basically saying, hey, you can approach your your daily life like as a ministry. So if people are interested in that side of things, they could look that up as well.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up because I am interested in those kind of things.
Okay.
So let's get to this question. What's one thing that an entrepreneur architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
Yeah, I think it probably relates to what I was talking about before with my when I was going through my struggles. And I was talking to a contractor just the other day. He's like, Nathan, like, you get all these jobs and you got to work in these jobs and you got to do good work on these jobs. And you finish those jobs and you find, hey, there's no more jobs. I spend most of my time now working on upcoming projects more than working on the actual projects.
So a parting piece of guidance, and then we'll wrap up with some contact information.
Try to be kind to people. Try and do as good a work as you can. What we've been finding just over the past little while, if you can work with graphic designers, it feels like they always want to do good work and be kind to people too. And so then if they become your client, they kind of feel your pain about not being able to do as good a work as you could do. And so then they give you freedom to keep doing better and better work. So we've got probably three projects I can think of off the top of my head that have been with graphic designers, each one where they're kind of pushing us to do better work than we would have otherwise done. So that's
interesting.
That's a big bonus.
Yeah. So that's a target market. So if you like working with graphic designers and they do let you do great work and they're good clients, that's a market you want to target. So what's the best way we talk about?
And then they pay you too.
even better. So the best way to connect with you we've talked about is the website, right? So bldgworkshop.ca. Is there anything else that you want to say before we wrap up?
And then on my house page too, that's probably even more updated than my building workshop. Just again, appreciate so much the opportunity to chat with you, Mark, and appreciate so much the work that you do and how it's literally like helped my firm like very integrally, how you've helped my firm not die.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm glad that we're here. I'm glad that I could be of service. And thanks for sharing that. And thank you for being here and sharing your story at Entree Architect Podcast.
Appreciate it a lot.
Hey, if you liked what we did here today at Entree Architect Podcast, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Two things. One, share this episode with a friend. The link is entrearchitect.com/episode178. It's the 178th episode of Entree Architect Podcast. So go share that. Think about somebody that might benefit from what Nathan shared here today and send them a link to entrearchitect.com/episode178. Number two, I haven't asked for this in a very long time. I don't even remember the last time I asked for it, but I would love a review and a rating. If you're listening to this on iTunes, you can go to entrearchitect.com/iTunes. That's a direct link to the iTunes store where you can send a rating and a review. And just let me know what you think of the show. Let me let other entrepreneur architects hear about what we're doing here at Entree Architect Podcast. Tap one of the stars. I'm not looking for 5 stars unless you think I'm earning 5 stars. I would love 5 stars, but I would also love a review. I'd really like to. I love reading the reviews. I love understanding what the Entree Architect community likes and what they don't like, because that's the only way I get feedback for this stuff. And I don't really know how to make it better unless I get some feedback from you. So go to entrearchitect.com/iTunes, leave a rating and a review, and anywhere else that you might be listening to this, do that there as well. Before you head off the internet when you're doing all those reviews and all that sharing, then click over to entrearchitect.com and check out what we're doing. Check out Entrepreneur Architect and Entree Architect Academy. It's a private online membership program that we built for you, the small firm architect. It is a custom community that has community, it has training, it has resources, it has everything you need to succeed as a small firm architect. You can build a better business. Go visit entrearchitect.com and check out what we're doing. My name is Mark Arlepage, and I am an entrepreneur architect, and I encourage you to go build a better business. It's the only way so you can be a better architect. Love, learn, and share what you know. Go do it. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.